Amen. All right. Take your Bibles and turn to the book of Revelation. And we are on lesson 37, our last lesson in the study of the Revelation. And we are in section 7, the last section. And this lesson entitled The Alpha and Omega, the section, of course, the accomplishment of God's will. What an exciting, exciting passage covering Revelation chapters 20 through 22. Our memory verses, Revelation 21, 6 and 7, we'll go ahead and say those together. We'll say the reference, the verses, and then the reference, and begin. Revelation 21, 6 and 7. And he said unto me, it is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. Revelation 21, 6 and 7. Let's say it again. Revelation 21, 6 and 7. And he said unto me, it is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. Revelation 21, 6 and 7. And Father, we do thank you so much for the fact that it is done. Our salvation is done, it is finished, and it will be done. As far as your will, it will be accomplished. Lord, I just rejoice. We see the mess that our world is in today, and we just rejoice that one of these days it'll be heaven, and you'll be the king, and we will know that. We'll everyone will accept that and rejoice in that. So we just look forward to that day. But till then, help us to know you're still the king. You are the king. And let us make you the king of our lives, I pray. And so speak to our hearts. Guide us into your truth, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, several weeks ago, we started on Roman numeral 1, the future destiny, and covered Revelation 21, 1 through 9. I believe we ended that last week. And the future destiny, number 2 now we come to. Roman numeral 2, the fabulous description. We have a beautiful description here of the new Jerusalem and the new heaven, the new earth, however you want to call it, the bride's home, the Bible says. And so that's covering Revelation 21, 10 through 22, 1 to 5. And again, you see we're just about there, just about at the end. But don't think that that's going to happen today, because it's not going to happen. I promise you it will not happen today. Probably won't happen next Sunday as well, but we're getting close. And I think the fitting thing would be that we cover those last verses, all of us in heaven after the rapture. That would be great, wouldn't it? And but if not, we just keep going. We're gonna be faithful, and praise the Lord for that. So the fabulous description, Revelation 21 and verse 10. And again, we finished off with verse 9, where it says, come hither, I will show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife. And he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain and showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God, having the glory of God. And her light was like unto a stone most precious, even like a jasper stone, clear as crystal. As we describe, and I'm really going to break this down, kind of skip around on these verses to just kind of describe this city. And it is the home of the church. The Bible says it comes out of heaven from God. And some have said that it's a city that is suspended above the earth. And it's kind of like the earth then is like a satellite planet revolving around it. I don't know about that. I've heard so many different things dealing with its size, the shape of it, not the size. The size is given in the scripture, but the shape of it and how it all works. Some, you know, I've had people say, you know, they've discovered, you know, way off in another galaxy somewhere, this cube-shaped, formation, and they believe that is it and all of this. And again, the Bible doesn't say, all we can do is speculate. Remember when we started in Revelation, we started with that word, speculate. And that just means we don't know. If the Bible doesn't say, there's no way definitively I'm going to say this is how it is. Because if the Bible doesn't say it, I can guess. I have my own thoughts. We all have our own thoughts about how all of this is going to take place. But it's interesting in verse 11 when it says having the glory of God. Now again, as we describe this, you're going to see absolute beauty. It's unmatched. We cannot even imagine as we think about these all the stones and the light of heaven being the Lord and just the reflection. It's something in our minds. All we can do is kind of guess what it's going to be like. But even then, I don't think we're going to be accurate. But one thing I notice here, it says having the glory of God. And, you know, we may, because of what everything says here in the description, we may think that's talking about the brightness. But I don't believe that's what it's talking about. I believe that we are the glory of God. I believe that is very clear in Scripture over and over again that we are His workmanship. We are the glory of God. I mean, the greatest work. I mean, you have to understand the Father put every star where it is and all the planets where they are and everything works like it works and all of that. But the greatest achievement is the salvation of man. And that brings God the greatest glory, I believe. The heavens declare the glory of God. The firmament showeth His handiwork. But boy, the glory of God in man. You know, that God would send His Son to die on a cross and to pay for our sins, and then that we would be made His workmanship to do His work. That's absolutely an amazing thing. We who are sinners can serve God. That's an amazing thing. And so the glory of God, the church, His people, that, I believe, is the glory that it talks about here. Now, again, I'm not trying to take away from all the light. We're going to talk about the sparkling beauty. The beauty of a diamond. Try to imagine a wall of it that is a diamond type material. Try to imagine. We think gold sparkles pretty well. Well, again, try to imagine the best gold, the purest gold, which is a clear gold. And wow, you cannot, the reflection and all the reflections of light. It's really pretty when the sun shines in on the stained glass. Well, I got news for you. Our stained glass, that's all it is stained glass. Try to imagine some of these jewels, some of the material. And when the light of Jesus shines through that, it's going to be spectacular. I try to think again. John is allowed to see all this. He's trying to describe it to us, and wow, it is hard to imagine. And so, again, it's an amazing description. There is some speculation as to where and how it is positioned and all of that, but it obviously is a fabulous, fabulous place and one that we will be, I believe, we'll be in awe of. But it's the home of the bride. And praise the Lord, that's our home. In my Father's house are many mansions. Again, we're not talking about little dwelling places, little cubicles, or we're talking about mansions. And with all the glory in the description here, that is what it is. So we're just going to kind of break it down. First of all, the size. Chapter 21 and verse 16. It gives the size, there is no question about that, and the city lieth four square. And the length is as large as the breadth, and he measured the city with the reed, 12,000 furlongs. The length and breadth and the height of it are equal. Now, that gives you the idea that it is a cube. There are some that would say it's a pyramid because you still would have a base and you still would have a height, but it does seem to be more of a cube shape in my thinking anyway. And again, who knows? But 12,000 furlongs, long, wide, and high, okay? So that is about 1,500 miles long, wide, and high, 1,500. So just to get it in perspective in our minds as to, okay, what is it? Well, it's about from New York City to Denver. All right, that's about 1,500 miles, New York City to Denver, Colorado, and then Canada to Florida. And so if you can get the map of the United States in your mind, you at least get a size of the area of that place. And then, of course, it goes up that high as well. And, of course, what does all that mean? What does it mean as far as our mansions? How does that all work? Well, we don't know. We just can only speculate. And so that is a huge, huge area. And I've heard people, well, that's not, you know, all the people. Well, I do want to remind you that God's got that all figured out. He knows he knows how that all works. And, people say, well, Pastor, you talk about your lake of chocolate and your, you know, all that kind of, well, all I'm doing is speculating. I don't know, but I got news for you. We will not be disappointed at all with anything that's in heaven and in this new Jerusalem. And so the size, 1,500 miles long, high, and wide. The shape, again, some say, most would say it's a cube just because of the description here, but it could be there. It could be a pyramid where you would have your length and your width, and you'd still would have your height, but again, it doesn't really matter, right? Because I don't know if we'll go up or not. But is there up or down in heaven? I don't know. You know, the Bible doesn't say. You can only speculate. Will we be just, you know, will we fly from place to place? I don't know. Will, you know, I've often thought about is there gravity? Is there not? Is there, what, you know, what's that like? I don't know. You know, you always think, well, if you like golf, you'll always hit holes in one. But the problem is, what fun would that be if everybody hits holes in one? In other words, Dale and I both, we'd go out golfing, he'd hit a hole in one. I think that'd get boring after a while. Then you got the fact that, well, you know, if you play baseball in heaven, you always hit a home run. Well, yeah, but what about going against the pitcher who always strikes everybody out? So I don't think it's going to be quite like that. I you can always dunk. Well, but what about the guy that always blocks everybody's shot? I don't know. Don't know if that any of that's going to matter when we get to heaven. I just the Bible does not say. And so the shape of heaven is one of those things that, it's just heaven. It doesn't really. It's not going to matter. The shape. I don't think when we get there, anybody's going to say, you know, I'm really disappointed this isn't this shape. All right. So the walls, number three, this is kind of an amazing thing. And again, the walls obviously do not take in all of heaven simply because they only go so high and heaven is so much higher. But verse 12 and 17 tells us, and had a wall great and high, and had 12 gates, and at the gates 12 angels, and names written thereon, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. And verse 17 says, and he measured the wall thereof 144 cubits, according to the measure of a man, that is, of the angel. And so they're measuring these walls to see how high they are. And a cubit is, typically, a cubit is your elbow to the tip of your fingers, and obviously that would be somewhat different with people, but usually they're talking about 18 inches or so, and so about 216 feet high. And the only reason I think we talk about it, because we're not, you know, again, there's no, the walls are not a defense. The gates are open. They're always open. So the gates are not, we don't have to close them to keep the enemy out. Amen? Because there is no enemy. But there is no threat. But anyway, the walls, I think, are described more because of the beauty of these walls. And obviously, the significance of 12, the number 12, and the 12 tribes, the 12 gates, and all of that. So 216 feet high. And then verse 11 says, having the glory of God, and her light was unto a stone most precious, even like a jasper stone. Here's a description, clear as crystal. So a jasper stone. And we'll talk about that maybe a little bit more, but a jasper stone. Verse 18 says, the building of the wall of it was of jasper. It's a jasper stone. The city was pure gold. So the wall is jasper. Now, again, these walls obviously are not to block anything because you see through them. They're clear. It's a clear crystal type material, this jasper stone. And jasper has many hues, though. It really doesn't have a color. If you look up jasper, you'll find, you know, you'll find different ideas of jasper, and it doesn't have a certain color. It's kind of like a diamond. And, you know, you look at a diamond, I've got a teeny little diamond in my wedding ring, and you know, you look at it, and usually, typically, you think it's clear, and yet when the light is shining, you know, you see different kinds of colors. Well, that's sort of the description of jasper. And again, as the light passes through it, there is a rainbow, I believe, of hues that go along with, you know, as far as the color. So now try to imagine that's your wall. Okay, try to imagine that. Again, we get a little idea with stained glass. Stained glass is real pretty when the sun shines on it, and it shines through, and it has a beauty to it. But this would be like a diamond wall, if you can imagine. And so 216 feet high, diamond wall. Now, Matt, how tall is our building? Do you have any idea? Do you remember any of those specs?
No, sir.
I can't remember that either. I there was a time that I'm going to say that we're probably, would we be about 16 feet here? Is that a guess? Matt, you know these things better than I do. Just to the wall here, about 16. That's all? Oh, wow. Okay, so, and then at the, I'm guessing 20 to 24 feet, something like that. So you try to imagine, you know, how tall that wall is. But it's not just a wall. I mean, if it was that wall, we'd say, oh, that's kind of boring. But it's not that wall. It's jasper. It's made out of jasper. And it's like a diamond. And so how beautiful is that going to be? And then the gates, it says. And it goes on in verse 12. It talks about the gates and had a wall great and high, had 12 gates. And at the gates, 12 angels and the names written thereon, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. On the east, 3 gates. On the north, 3 gates. On the south, 3 gates. And on the west, 3 gates. And so we have these gates that are there. 12 gates, the Bible says, 3 on the north, 3 on the south, 3 on the east, 3 on the west. And each one of them has the name of one of the tribes of Israel, and each is represented there by an angel. In chapter 21 and verse 21, we get to see something else here. The 12 gates were 12 pearls. That's an interesting thing. Every several gate was of one pearl, and the street of the city was pure gold, as it were transparent glass. But again, here's these gates are pearl. Now these are huge gates, and each gate is made of one solid pearl. That's amazing. That was a big oyster, wasn't it? But it's just what the Bible says. Now, again, we're talking about materials that are worth huge amounts of money. I bought my wife pearls. Oh, I started off buying one pearl once, and I don't remember how many things I had to sell to be able to buy that, how much overtime I had to work. But anyway, over the year, and she has pearls now that the string broke, and try to get pearls strung. That's exciting, too. But anyway, Oh my, they're expensive. But pearls, that's such an interesting thing. And it's always going to be, you know, they're always open. They're always there. They never shut. But it's interesting to study pearls. And I just wrote a couple things down. First, look at Matthew 13, verse 45. I think it's very significant that the gates are made out of pearl. And by the way, with God, he doesn't do anything by accident. He never does anything by accident. The tabernacle in the wilderness, the temple, the holy place, the courtyard, all of that. Nothing is just, well, it's interesting. You know, God just did it this. God has a reason for everything he does. And we will be reminded every time we look at the gates of something I think significant. Matthew 13 and verse 45. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a merchant man seeking goodly pearls, who when he had found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it. The pearl of great price. The church, of course, is the pearl of great price. We are the pearl of great price. And that is because of the, if you understand how a pearl is made. And it's very interesting, and many of you have heard this before, but a pearl comes from a shelled mollusk. Most of us would think of an oyster, but there are other mollusks that produce pearls. But it all starts this way. It starts with a grain of sand that gets inside that shell. Just a small little grain of sand. And that little grain of sand irritates that inner lining of that mollusk, if you will. And it somehow irritates, it scratches it because it's in there and floating around. And because that mollusk is a living organism, it then starts to send out a fluid to coat that little piece of sand. And it will send out layer upon layer upon layer until that little piece of sand has that layer and layer and layer perfectly round, which is what we call the pearl. That's exactly what that is. And it will until there's a beautiful pearl formed all around that piece of dirt. Does that tell you anything? Such a beautiful, beautiful picture. The gates remind us that we were that grain of dirt that was a hurt in the side of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we're covered in him. And the beauty of us is not us. We're all covered up by him. And we are that pearl of great price. The beauty is not in the sand. The beauty is in him. And if you want to go out sometime and compare prices, go out and check out how much dirt costs and how much it's worth versus a pearl. And you'll see where the value is. And we go back to Revelation and 21. The gates of it shall not be shut at all by day, for there shall be no night there. So they're never shut. There's no night, so they're not shut during the day, and the day is always. I like that. I really do. Never, never shut. And so as we walk around, as we observe, and obviously those gates stand out. There's three on the north, three on the south, three on the east, three on the west, and we're reminded we are that pearl of great price, only because we're in Christ. Otherwise, all we are, we're just a grain of sand, a grain of dirt, right? Then we come to number five, and that's the foundations. The foundation, this is interesting because we have to say foundations. It's plural because notice what verse 14 says. It says, and the wall of the city had 12 foundations, and in them the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. And so we have 12 layers, I guess I'm calling it, 12 layers, to, just so I can understand it in my mind, which that's the foundations of the city. And they're 12 layers here. And they're named, the name on them, of the 12 apostles. And that's kind of an interesting thing too. By the way, that was told in Ephesians 2 and verse 20. If you want to look at that, Ephesians 2 verse 20, or just write it down. I'll read it, Ephesians 2 and verse 20. And are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto an holy temple in the Lord. And so, again, we see the names of the apostles. And again, we're reminded of this, church history every day. You know, every day we're reminded. Every day we're reminded about the 12 tribes of Israel. Every day we're reminded about the 12 apostles. Every day we're reminded of our heritage. Every day we're reminded, as we look at the pearl, we're reminded that we were a grain of sand in the side of the Lord Jesus. But he, by dying on the cross, he made us beautiful. He made our lives beautiful. We are his workmanship. Amen. And praise the Lord for that. And so we come back to the book of Revelation, and we look at verse 19. It says, the foundation of the wall of the city were garnished with all manner of precious stones. And so then we break this down. Again, here's the beauty of everything. So far, you haven't seen anything dull and nasty, have you? We haven't heard the word asphalt. Tar, right? We haven't heard that yet, have we? This summer we will seal our parking lot again. And yes, you'll have lines so you know where to park. Won't that be wonderful? It's so funny watching people try to figure out, well, I wonder where the line is. It's even better in the winter when it snows, you know, you just can't tell. But when they put that down, I don't know of anything any nastier. It's nasty. When they did our drives out here, it was just really nasty. It smells bad. If you touch it or you step on it, you'll track it forever. It's just nasty. There's nothing said about any of that. Doesn't say anywhere in here where they hired Slusarski to come and pave the street. It's amazing, isn't it, just to think about what it's going to be like. It really is. So this is a foundation. Again, you talk about a foundation. We got to pour the cement and it hardens, you know, and we got to pour it all, get it all in there. And it just is ugly. But these foundations, they're not ugly. Notice what it says. It says the first foundation was jasper. There's our word again. Crystal clear like a diamond. That's the first one. The second, sapphire. Sapphire is blue with gold specks in it. And it's beautiful. Again, and it's too bad the sun's not shining today, because we could have taken advantage of our stained glass. But again, that's just stained glass. A sapphire is a real jewel that is absolutely beautiful. It's brilliant when the light shines. You say, well, what about a cloudy day? There aren't any. Amen. There's no cloud. You can't cover up him. He's the light. Oh, that's good. Some of you ought to go ahead and tell yourself to smile today. It'll be okay. I'm serious. And so now we have jasper, we have sapphire, the third, a chalcedony. That is sky blue with stripes of other colors. Beautiful. You know, I like the sky blue colors in the stained glass, but all that is stained glass. This is a real jewel, and it's sky blue with stripes of other colors. And then, of course, we have the fourth as an emerald. Anybody have an emerald? Anybody? All right, one does. Anybody else? An emerald? All right, several of you do. An emerald is bright green. Again, we have some greens in there. I wouldn't call them bright greens, but it's kind of neat to see. But an emerald is bright green. And again, with Jesus as the light, Whew, beautiful. The next thing, the fifth, verse 20, the fifth, sardonyx, and that is white with layers of red. Imagine the sun, the Lord shining, the light shining through that, white with layers of red. Then you have the sixth, sardius, that is fiery red. Now again, we have a red on there. We have kind of a what I would call like a purplish, and then you have a red next to it. But none of our reds in our stained glass is what I would call fiery red, and beautiful. And again, this is the foundation. We're looking at it, and it's the foundation. Then the next thing is the seventh, chrysolite. Now, that's not crystal light. Okay, so this is not a diet drink of any kind. This is a transparent golden yellow stone. In other words, it's golden yellow, but you can see through it. And again, this is the foundation. All this beauty in the foundation. Amazing. And then the eighth, beryl. And beryl is a sea green stone. And again, a very beautiful color. And if you can just imagine these layers, again, I don't know how they're layered, but absolutely beautiful. The ninth, a topaz, which is transparent golden green stone. Again, transparent meaning that it is golden green, but you can see through it. And an absolutely beautiful, beautiful color. The next thing, the tenth, a chrysoprasus. I think I said that right. That is also a blue-green color stone. The 11th, a jacinth, which is a purple or a violet color, which we have some of that in our stained glass. And then the 12th, an amethyst, which is purple, very strong purple color. And again, you just have this is the foundation, the foundations, these 12 layers. Again, we don't know how all that is. We're just told that's what it is. And what a beautiful, beautiful sight that's going to be. We have nothing to compare. It's impossible to compare. I have Brother Craig Pearson. I mentioned at our annual meeting that one of the projects, this was the year of the project, amen. And we're on our third project now with the songbooks, but we have one of the other projects is a map of the world to go on our wall across from our missionary letters, and a big map of the world made out of this stained glass. And I think it's going to be absolutely beautiful. I think it's going to be nice. And it's the best we can do. You know, the best, try to imagine when God does his best. The foundation, just think about that, how beautiful that's going to be. And then you hear, because we preachers talk about this again, I can't even imagine verse 21, we come to number 6, and that's the street. It says in verse 21, the 12 gates were 12 pearls, every silver gate was one pearl, and the street of the city was pure gold, as it were transparent glass. Now, gold that is transparent, that is pure, perfect gold. And the shine off of that is, it's just got to be absolutely brilliant and beautiful. You say, are we going to have to wear sunglasses? No, because we're going to have perfect eyes. And I cannot even imagine that kind. It's so pure, it's transparent. Now, it's interesting. It says here, the street. We always talk about streets. And I'm not going to argue. I would never make an argument out of this because the Bible doesn't say one way or the other. Other than it just talks here like, you know, there's a main street here. But it could mean that it's just all attached and everything is one. I don't know. I just know that it's made out of transparent, perfect, the purest gold possible. And that's just, again, look at our streets, especially in Michigan. Yeah, potholes, right? But I do not believe there will be potholes in the streets of gold. Amen. Or in the street of gold. But ushers, I need you to come and we'll get an offering here for the class. And when you think about God and God's riches, if he paves the street with gold, unbelievable. Hard to imagine. I'm always excited, too, about he owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. And I think, so there's cattle, so there's hope for T-bone steak. But then again, I don't know how that all is going to work in heaven. So I'm not sure. I know we're going to be thrilled. I just know that. Of course, you have the vegan people. They say that heaven is all vegetables. And to me, that's not heaven. Unless, of course, chocolate is a vegetable, as I've said for years. Pure gold streets. Can you imagine? Perfect streets. You don't have to worry about a crack in the street. You don't have to worry about a pothole. It's just perfect, smooth, perfect, pure gold that is transparent. And then, of course, you have to mention number 7 in chapter 22 and verse 3. But the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. We can't pass up talking about the throne that is there. And he's the king. He said, I'll dwell with man, but he is the king. I always, when I read this, I always go back to Israel, and he said, I want to be your king. And they said, no, we want Saul. Saul, he's a big, tall fella. He's a fella. And there is no king like God. And he is on the throne in heaven. Let me give you just one more thing. The river here, chapter 22 and verse 1. He showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. And there's that pure, we'll talk more about that later on, but again, as we look at it, think of a description, there is this river flowing, and it is, the Bible says, it's a pure river of water of life. And it's pure. Can we even imagine what that will be like? Everything's perfect. Everything's, there's no tainting of sin at all. It's all perfect. And it's just an amazing thing. Let's... Chapter 22, verse 2, in the midst of the street of it and on either side of the river was there the tree of life. That's a big tree. Did you catch all that? And which bare 12 manner of fruits and yielded her fruit every month, and the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. The tree of life is also there. And I'm going to stop there. But wow, the description. We have a few more things to look at. But... What a beautiful, beautiful sight. What an amazing thought that is. And, you'll have your cell phones and take pictures. No, we won't be doing that. But could you imagine sending those back? Amen. Oh, what an exciting thing. Father, we love you. Thank you for these promises, these just a brief idea of what heaven is going to be like. And I pray it's encouraged someone today. It should encourage us every time we read it. And I pray that you will you'll come quickly. We do look forward to that day. And we can't even imagine what it's really going to be like. Thank you for giving us just a taste. Bless our morning service. Bless mothers who are here. Give them a wonderful day. And if there's anyone here who's not saved, please save them, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.